Well, it took Slim 5 minutes to figure out that Alfred was missing. He came out the back door and walked over to where Drover and I were standing. Sitting, actually. We had gotten tired of standing and had sat down beside the yard fence. Alfred was still hiding in the bushes, wearing a big devilish grin. Slim walked up to us and stopped. I noticed that I was feeling just a bit, well, guilty, you might say. Not that we'd done anything wrong. We hadn't. We were as innocent as the dribbled snow, but it just so happened that we knew where the guilty party was hiding. Anyways, I was suddenly smitten by feelings of guilt and began whapping my tail on the ground. These were slow whaps, the kind that are meant to express deepest concern and purest intentions. Drover must have been feeling guilty too, because he lowered his head and rolled over on his back. Slim towered over us. He had a toothpick parked on one side of his mouth. I waited for him to accuse us of what? Hiding a criminal? Contributing to the jailbreak of a minor? I didn't know what all kinds of crimes we might be accused of, but I was pretty sure we would get blamed for something. That's the way it usually turns out around here. But you know what? He didn't say a word about little Alfred. What he said was, "Well, dogs, let's load up some feed and go check them heifers." And he started walking towards the pickup. I was shocked. I threw a glance over to the south side of the house and saw little Alfred's face appear. His eyes were as big as coffee cups, and his mouth was hanging open. Oh, and that devilish little grin had vanished. Slim opened the pickup door and whistled for us dogs to load up. Well, I didn't feel good about leaving the boy, but we were being called to active duty, and what's a dog supposed to do? We headed for the pickup and jumped into the cab. Slim climbed in behind us and slammed the door. He started the motor and put her in gear, and we began moving away from the house. He hadn't gone far when we heard screaming and yelling. We looked back towards the yard and saw the midget in prison stripes running in our direction. He was wearing big fluffy house shoes on his feet, and he was waving his arms.
"Swim, swim, don't weave me."
Slim put on the brake and waited. Alfred ran up to the pickup. His face showed a high degree of shock and maybe some fear also. Yes, the boy was pretty scared.
"Were y'all gonna weave me here?"
Slim nodded. That's what we was fixing to do."
"You can't weave me all by myself."
"Why not? You left the place where you was supposed to be, so I figured you needed some time alone." Alfred shook his head and his lip began to tremble. "Here's the deal, son. I ain't gonna chase you all over this ranch. Either you're sick or you ain't. Declare yourself and let's get on with it. If you're sick, get back in that bed and stay there. If you ain't sick, get in and let's go check heifers."
"Well, I don't feel sick."
"Then probably you ain't. Load up and let's go." He stepped out and Alfred joined us dogs on the pickup seat. He didn't look near as cocky as he had about 5 minutes before, and that was the end of his playing hide-and-seek with Slim. I must admit that I was impressed with the way Slim handled it. He may have been a bachelor, but he knew how to get the lad's attention. Don't argue. Don't chase. Just drive off. We drove around to the feed barn, and Slim got out and threw a sack of feed into the rear of the pickup. When he climbed back inside, Alfred said,
"Hey, Slim, can I drive?"
Slim looked him over. "No."
"How come?"
"You ain't old enough. You've got to be 6 to drive a ranch pickup. You're only 5.
"Please."
"What if you got arrested and throwed in jail? In jail, they'd make you eat spinach 3 times a day. Now, how would you like that?" The boy narrowed his eyes.
Swim, you're teasing me.
I am, huh? Well, crawl over here and sit in my lap. I guess we've got nothing better to do.
Alfred crawled into Slim's lap and took the wheel. Slim let out on the clutch, and off we went to the Dutcher Creek pasture. Alfred drove all the way and seemed right proud of himself.
When we got to the pasture, Slim turned off the key and blew the horn. As the heifers began coming up out of the creek, he took off his hat and fanned his face.
Does it seem hot to y'all?
Alfred shook his head.
Boy, all at once I'm burning up.
Slim took off his jacket and fanned his face again. I noticed that it looked a little red. His face, not his hat. His face looked red, and he even had a few beads of sweat on the sides of his nose. By then the heifers had arrived. Slim got out and poured the feed on the ground in a long line. We waited for him to join us in the cab, but he didn't, not for a while. Instead, he sat down on the back of the pickup bed and fanned his face again with his hat. At last, he stepped down and walked around to the door. He had unbuttoned his shirt, and I noticed that his face had turned even redder than before.
Boys, I don't know what's come over me, but all at once I ain't feeling so wonderful. I've got the sweats, and I feel kindly weak. I sure hope this ain't a cold coming on.
Maybe you're getting the measles.
Huh, don't think so. Grown people don't get the measles. Measles and mumps is what they call children's diseases, see? And by the time you get my age, good honk, now I'm cold.
He put on his jacket and climbed into the cab.
Something ain't quite right here. Maybe we better go back to the house and I'll take me a little nap. I must be catching a sniffle.
Hey, Slim, you've got some wet spots on your face.
Slim gave the boy a hard stare. Then he looked at his face in the mirror.
Can't see a thing. Mirror's too dirty. But I don't have any red spots.
Alfred shrugged.
Okay, Slim.
Then he turned to us dogs and whispered,
"He's got wet spots."
I looked, and the boy was right. Slim started the pickup, and we drove back to the house. By the time we got there, he wasn't acting very perky. He kind of dragged his way towards the house, complaining that the sunlight was bothering his eyes. When he reached the yard gate, he stopped and leaned against the gatepost. He unsnapped all the buttons on his shirt. Alfred stared at his bare chest.
Hey, Slim, you've got wet spots on your chest.
Slim looked.
That's a sure sign of a cold coming on. All I need is a 30-minute nap, and you're gonna take one too.
Oh, Slim, can't I stay out here and play with my doggies?
Negatory on that. I ain't fixing to close my eyes with you and them dogs running loose. Come on, when we get up from our naps, I'll make us a nice nourishing lunch.
Oh, good. How about fried chicken?
It's great stuff, but it ain't one of my recipes. Makes too many dirty dishes. Think of something else.
Okay. How about...
Better yet, let me give you the choices. We can have Vienna sausage or Chef Boy Howdy's canned spaghetti.
Would you warm it up?
No. It dirties the pot. We can eat it out of the can, the cowboy way.
Couldn't you wash the pot?
Too much trouble. And besides, I've got a cold. You ain't supposed to wash pots when you got a cold. Spreads germs.
He started towards the back door.
So that settles it. When we get up from our naps, we'll have Vienna sausage and crackers.
And ketchup?
Okay. If you won't make a mess, I don't want your ma coming home to a dirty house. She already thinks I'm about half savage, and I don't need any more evidence against me. Come on. Slim went into the house, wiping sweat from his forehead. Alfred waved goodbye to us dogs and said,
"Y'all wait right here. I'll be back after my dumb old nap."
He disappeared into the house, leaving Drover and me alone. I wasn't real excited at the prospect of spending any more time alone with Drover. I mean, he's a fairly nice little mutt in some ways, but also fairly boring. As instructed, we sat down beside the yard gate. The minutes crawled by, and after a while, we found ourselves staring into each other's eyes. "Drover, why are you staring at me?"
"Oh, I don't know. I ran out of things to do, I guess."
"Well, stare at something else. I don't enjoy being stared at."
"You stared at me first."
"I did not. I was merely looking. There's a big difference between staring and looking."
"I'll be darned. What's the difference?"
"The difference is big, huge."
"Yeah, but what is it?"
"If you don't know by now, Drover, I'm not going to waste my time telling you." Silence. Then,
"What should I stare at?"
"Anything but me. Just pick something out of the hat."
"I don't have a hat."
"I know you don't have a hat. You just barely have a head."
"I thought I had a pretty nice head."
"Now you're making fun of it."
"I'm not making fun of your head. The point is that your head is fairly empty."
"How'd you know that?"
"Every time I look into your eyes, Drover, I see a vast emptiness."
"No fooling."
"Honest. You should try to look yourself in the eyes sometime."
"Gee, I never thought of that."
You know what he did then? He crossed his eyes. And even more amazing, he seemed excited about it.
"Oh, gosh, this is fun. I never would have thought of doing this. Thanks, Hank."
I watched the little mutt for 5 whole minutes, cross-eyed and grinning. At last, I could stand it no longer. "All right, that's enough. You're embarrassing me. If somebody came along and saw us here, they'd know for sure that you're a goofball. And they might even think that we're friends."
"Oh, I don't mind."
"I know you don't mind, but I do. I have my reputation to think about." He uncrossed his eyes and laid down. So did I. "The trouble with you, Drover, is that you take a good idea and run it into the ground."
"I thought the trouble with me was that my tail was too short."
"You have many troubles."
"Yeah, and this old leg of mine..."
"Drover, please hush and go to sleep. We'll discuss your troubles some other time. Good night."
"It's still daylight. And you know what else? The wind just shifted to the north, and it feels kind of chilly. And the clouds are moving in."
"Drover, for the last torque, snark the honking watermelons and biffle the piffle snark."
I must have dozed off. When I awoke, something strange had happened.